77 right now in a sunny sky. Thursday morning show, October 2nd. Thank you very much for waking up with us this morning. Well, the lady returns, our favorite historian, Jana Gageland.
Yeah, I didn't run away.
You did not run away. Nope. Thank heavens, because what a great segment. We've been having a lot of fun with this. You've been kind of digging around in the kitchen drawers here.
Yeah, it's been kind of like a show and tell situation.
I know. It's been fun.
Yeah.
What have you got today?
Well, I've got something, a couple items from back in the 30s, like 1936, maybe a little bit before.
Okay.
So I thought, these are cool. I'm going to share these.
All right. Yeah, please do.
All right. So what we have is based on the comic strip, The Little Orphan Annie.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So Little Orphan Annie was a comic strip that started in probably like 1924. It was on the East Coast, and it was based upon the poem that was written in 1885 about, you know, so there's a little history back there. So they took that poem and that comic strip and put them together and came up with this radio show for children, and it was Little Orphan Annie, and so it was like 15 minutes. It wasn't very long. It started in Chicago, and it would tell the adventures of Little Orphan Annie and her dog Sandy and the things that happened to her and the little things she got away with in the orphanage, and it was just kind of the story, and the kids really liked it. It was, I think it was on the radio for probably till 1942.
Quite a while, yes.
Yeah, and then it wasn't. But the comic strip stayed around, and of course there were other things that came out of both of those. You know, some movies, and you know, made some really famous people, and there were coloring books and dolls and.
They had everything for it. It was a popular series.
Yes.
And then, it always gets me back to the movie Christmas Story, because that's what they were both listening to on the radio.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Drink more Ovaltine anyway.
Right, right.
Continue.
So that is the link, is the Ovaltine, which is I think it was made in Switzerland. It was a drink additive that was probably chocolate flavored. And the idea then was for kids to drink more Ovaltine. But because they sponsored it. But there was also, and I'll let you take a look at this.
Okay. This looks like a little medallion.
Right. It's a pin.
It is a pin.
Yes.
Okay. Hang on. I got to get my glasses for this. Okay, I'm kind of aging myself here. All right. This says, RASS.
Well, it stands for the...
Or ROA, excuse me, right. ROASS. Yep.
So it stands for the Secret Society of Little Orphan Annie. So if you saved some of the box tops from Ovaltine, then you could send those in and you'd get this pin.
Oh, I get. Okay, it's the decoder on here.
I'm looking closer.
It's that decoder
right,
on there.
Right, right. And so at the end of each of their 15-minute segments, they would give some clues as to what might happen on the next segment. And so you use your decoder pin then to figure out what they're going to be talking about, what Annie's going to be up to in the next segment.
And this is from 1936. In the world did you find this, Janet?
One of those junk drawer things.
Jake, digging around in the junk drawer.
Yes, yes. It's probably bound for the museum so others can see it.
I love this.
Isn't it cool?
That is very cool, the whole decoder thing on the front of it.
So was Ovaltine something in our grocery stores back in the day? It absolutely was.
Mm-hmm.
So 1932, you could buy that. And it wasn't real expensive.
National Tea Food Stores. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So they came through for us and had it in the stores. And then because of the popularity of Little Orphan Annie, there was a showing of one of the movies that was made. You know, different people playing Little Orphan Annie depending upon who made the movie. But that one was in... I think it was in Breckenridge.
Yes, at the Grand Theater in Breckenridge.
Yeah,
it was running Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Right.
And I'd love to know how much tickets were. probably a dime.
Close.
Yeah.
Yep. So 1934, a vaudeville group came to St. John's, and they put on the Little Orphan Annie play.
Wow.
And look what the price of a ticket there.
The Harry Hayden Dramatic Players, and let me check here, tickets were $15.25.
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes they charge 25 cents for the prime time, which might have been an evening one,
mm-hmm.
but the matinees went for a little less.
At St. John's Church.
Yes.
Featuring Husband Hunters and Little Orphan Annie. Both very clever comedy dramas. I love this. Elite vaudeville between acts.
And then in 1935, we still have the Ovaltine in our stores, and they're still saying, hey, you have to drink that because Little Orphan Annie does, and it's probably making her very strong.
Yeah, yes. Gone up in price, so it's now 31 cents and 57 cents.
Yeah, depending upon the size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So that was one of those little trinket things, but I have another trinket thing.
Yeah.
Do we have time?
Sure.
Okay.
Shoot. Go ahead.
All right. This, again, is from the 30s, and I don't know if that was when we needed some of this kind of stuff in our lives, and the kids needed something. So Little Orphan Annie was more towards the children, the younger age, which made it a popular show because the little kids had something to listen to, and no TV, so radio,
right.
You know. So then we come along with Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
Yes.
We go from Little Orphan Annie to Shirley Temple.
Well, they're both from the same time frame.
And both had curly hair.
And they both did, yeah. Shirley Temple, you know, well, she continued on with some other things after her career was over when she was no longer a child actress. But, again, dolls, buggies, coloring books, puzzles.
Oh, marketing was crazy
on that. It was,
it
was. And so then she, too, had some movies. And one of her movies was Bright Eyes.
Starring Shirley Temple. Yes, for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Starting Thursday, January 3rd.
Yeah, and I don't think the price of a ticket went up much. But
probably not.
No. But again, marketing and products came along and said, hey, we can maybe sell some stuff. So in 1936.
Okay, we have, oh, a Shirley Temple mug.
Well, actually, it's a pitcher.
It is a pitcher. It's a small pitcher.
For milk.
Okay.
So it's 4.5 inches. And she had this program or this movie that was called Captain January. And so it came out about that same time
mm-hmm.
when she was shipwrecked and her parents were killed. And this fellow in the lighthouse found her and raised her. And then the boarding school people said, you can't be raising her. And then the distant relatives came and saved her. So anyway, if you liked Wheaties, you would save a couple of box tops and get that.
And get a Shirley Temple little milk pitcher.
Yeah, with her in her image.
This is beautiful. It's got her face on it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful color, blue.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Right, and just think of that being put on those in 1936.
Wow.
The image imprinted on
that. That would take something, and this is a beautiful image of her.
Yes, absolutely.
Did she do it on the Good Ship Lollipop? Wasn't that one of her songs?
Oh, she had.
She had a lot, yeah.
So how much did Wheaties cost in 1936?
We're going to find out.
We are.
Wheaties cost, let me check it. Oh, 22 cents. Two packages for 22 cents.
Yes.
And you get the Shirley Temple pitcher with each two packages.
Yeah, there was no limit. And this was not the National Tea. It was a different, mm-hmm. like a warehouse-type store.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And that is, here's a little description of that. It's the Hazel Atlas Glass Company is the company that came out with that pitcher.
Boy, they did good work with this. Did you find this in the kitchen drawer, too?
It was tucked away.
That could be worse. That is beautiful, seriously.
Yeah. And some of them have a value of, could be $200, some maybe $15. Depends upon how Shirley looks.
Right. And I'm kind of wondering if you took this to Antique Roadshow, what they'd give you for it.
Yeah, I would be interested, too.
And the medallion, too, the
yep.
The decoder pin.
Yeah,
decoder pin.
Yeah.
Could be worth something.
It could, yeah.
You might have a gold mine here, Janet Gageland.
I don't know. I keep trying to put those things in the museum because I think, you know, this could be in the toy section.
I love this. Yeah.
I mean, it's just fun stuff.
So next week, what are we going to be covering?
Well, my plan is to go back to some early history of Wahpeton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I've I've cleaned out the drawers enough where I'm not going to fall into something.
Janet, I got to tell you, it's been the most awesome show and tell.
Yeah,
over the past 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah,
it's
good stuff.
Yep, I wake up on Thursday morning and I get to talk about Little Orphan Annie and Shirley Temple.
Good stuff. Yeah. Janet Gageland, we are talking Wahpeton history. We're talking things you find in the kitchen drawers.
Yes.
Great to have you here.
Good to be here.
Have a great rest of the week. A good weekend next Thursday. You will be here.
I will.
With some Wahpeton history. It's 8:17 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW, good morning.
Innovation is transforming sugar beet farming. At Beta Seed, we're using advances in science to optimize the potential of every seed you plant. Our state-of-the-art breeding and testing process takes up to 10 years. It's the only way to ensure the hybrid your Beta Seed rep recommends has the best traits to manage disease and drive yields for this region and your farm. It's what we call next-gen breeding for next-gen confidence. Learn more at betaseed.com. Beta Seed, breeding confidence.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance.